Roman government is going to totally collapse during the tribulation. And there will be the pronouncement that the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Let me hear you say amen.
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. Many years ago, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Ezekiel saying, "Cry out, alas for the day, for the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of clouds, a time of doom for the nations." And as we approach the sixth chapter in our series of messages on the book of Revelation, and according to the vision of the future given to the Apostle John, everything is now ready for what follows. In our previous broadcast, we have learned that with the closing of the church age detailed in chapters 2 and 3, the church will be raptured to glory, suddenly and without warning. Believers, the living and the dead, will rise to the shout from above. Then, in chapters 4 and 5, we stood witness with John to the awesome proceedings that will take place in heaven after the rapture. And now, in this futuristic sense, since none of these things have happened yet, the Lamb has been found worthy to open the seven-sealed book of God's wrath, long held in abeyance by his marvelous and abundant mercy, and things are about to get exceedingly ugly on planet Earth. So we urge you to follow along in your Bibles as Pastor Brian Grant takes us to Revelation chapter 6, bringing the first part of his timely and urgent message entitled, "The Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse." Here now is Pastor Grant.
Years ago, when our children were still kids, we took them on a Caribbean cruise. And the second stop was in Ocho Rios, Jamaica. We were looking forward to stopping in Ocho Rios because there is a great beach right nearby where the ship docks. And so we left the ship and we went to this beach and we were having a great time at the beach. Some of you know the beach I'm talking about, a great time. And we had put away our watches because you have to be careful sometimes in some parts of Jamaica. They might want me to tell you this, but you don't want to show a whole lot of jewelry. So we had put away our watches. And we didn't even realize that the time had run out until we heard this incredible horn blowing. The ship was telling us it was about to depart. I had to come up with a plan. I said to my wife, "Honey, you stay here and you get the kids together and you come. I'm going to run to the thing and try and stop this ship from leaving us." So I ran, and you know, I don't think Usain Bolt could have caught up with me. I was, after all, I am a Jamaican as well, you know. And so I ran with all I had, and as I got to the ship, they were just about raising the gangway, and I jumped on the gangway as they were about to raise it, and then I stopped, and I said, "My wife and my children are coming. They just need a few more minutes." The gentleman said, "No, they can't wait. The folks said they can't wait." So I went closer to the doorway to get onto the ship. You know how these gangways are. And as I got close, I didn't want to go in unless they locked me in there. So I said, I pleaded. They said, "You have a choice. You either come in and you leave your family, or you go back and you stay with them. But we're leaving." So guess what I did? I did not leave my family. I realized there was a third choice. I could stand right on the gangway and dare them to pitch me off. And that's exactly what I did. I stood my ground. And there was a lot of tension from both sides of the gangway, each side shouting at me and demanding that I do something. And I just stood calmly. And after we waited, you know, my wife can't run as fast as Usain Bolt. So after we waited and waited, Eventually they arrived, but we all made it. You know, that day I was able to delay the departure of that ship. My delaying tactics worked, but nothing is going to delay God's plan for this world. And I want you to know that, my friend, whoever you are, you might be listening this morning, nothing is going to delay God's plan for this world. You know, sometimes it seems that the world is out of control, but I want you to realize the world is not out of control. Everything is still on schedule. God is in control, and no one can thwart his plans. And so today we're going to be shifting gears, and we want to focus today, and for the next couple weeks, we're going to be focusing on God's plan for the world after the rapture. And today, as we shift gears, I want to speak to you on the theme, Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. You know, the word apocalypse comes from a Greek word which means to uncover. Apocalypse comes from a word which means to uncover, because revelation is an uncovering. It uncovers God's plan for the future. And revelation is what is the primary example in the Bible of what we call apocalyptic literature. And apocalyptic literature is literature which uses symbols, images, and numbers to depict future events. And I'm just sharing this with you. So as we go through this book of Revelation, I keep emphasizing this, that you can realize this is apocalyptic literature. It is using symbols, images, and numbers to depict future events. Numbers, as you've already realized, is important. I have emphasized the number 7 over and over because the number 7 is so important. And one of the best known symbols in Revelation is the 7-seal scroll in Revelation chapter 5. We sing about that 7-seal scroll, don't we? But although we sing about this 7-seal scroll, I believe some Christians have no idea what the scroll contains. And so this morning I want to answer two questions for you as I deal with this subject of the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The first question I want to answer for you, what does the 7-seal scroll contain? Because this is all tied in. What does the 7-seal scroll contain? Write this in your notes if you're taking notes. The 7-seal scroll contains the judgments God will pour out on the world during the tribulation. The 7-seal scroll contains the judgments God will pour out on the world during the tribulation. Now, if you had property and the tenants trashed it, what would you do? You would eventually kick them out and clean house, wouldn't you? Well, I want you to know God owns this world, and mankind has trashed God's world. Oh, we don't have, I don't have to tell you that murder is rampant as never before. Murder, wickedness, rebellion against God. Listen, we have trashed God's world. We have trashed earth, and now we're exploring this. We're going to try and trash outer space as well. We have trashed God's creation. But listen, just like you would have dealt with it, God is going to deal with it. Sometimes we find it hard that God is talking about taking action. Listen, you would have kicked the people out and taken action. And God still owns, the Lord Jesus Christ still owns the title deed to this earth. And one day he's going to take action. He's going to clean a house. And it's going to really take speed up during the tribulation. Put this down in your notes. During the tribulation, God's wrath will be unleashed on the world with such fury. it will eventually result in the total collapse of all human government. Let me pause there. I don't want you to miss that. All human government is going to totally collapse during the tribulation. The tribulation will only last 7 years. Every single government on earth will totally collapse. And there will be the pronouncement that the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever. Let me hear you say amen. And if you're looking for a verse that backs that up, Revelation 11:15 tells us exactly that, that the kingdom of this world has become, the pronouncement is made, has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. Tribulation is going to be an unbelievably rough time. I'm so glad I won't be here during the tribulation. How about you? I am glad I won't be here. Why? For when the rapture comes, every born again believer in Jesus Christ will be snatched away out of this world. We'll be snatched away to heaven. What a hope we have as believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. We're going to be taken away to heaven. Let me ask you, do you know him? Do you have that hope? Does Jesus Christ live in your heart? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Is he your King? Hallelujah, for we have such an amazing Savior. And those of us who are saved will be snatched out, will be called away. But my friend, I want you to know, if you don't get saved today, if you don't get saved before the rapture, you will never be able to get saved after the rapture. You see, some people have the idea, well, if all the Christians are missing, I will immediately come to Jesus and get saved. Do you realize that's an impossibility? Do you realize that anyone who has an opportunity for salvation today and rejects that opportunity cannot get saved during the rapture? Listen, you can write this down. Listen, if you reject God's salvation before the rapture, you cannot get saved after the rapture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 11 states, God will send them strong delusion, so they will believe the lie. Listen, everybody who has an opportunity, my friend, as you listen to me this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ, the Bible says, having heard this message, which is clearly letting you know that you need to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you reject the salvation that God offers, he says that during the tribulation, God will send us you such strong delusion. It says they will believe the lie and be condemned, for they did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. My friend, this is the time to be saved. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. And my friend, I urge you with all the fiber of my being, accept Jesus Christ today and know for sure that you'll be set and ready for heaven. First question, what does the seven seal scroll contain? But the second question, so what happens when Jesus opens the seven seals? Write this down. As Jesus opens each of the seven seals, the judgments contained in the scroll will be activated. So fasten your seatbelts, for the action is about to pick up. And the first four seals Jesus opens activates the four chilling horsemen of the apocalypse. And remember, everything we're going to talk about this morning happens in less than 7 years, because the entire tribulation is only 7 years. The Bible says it's going to be so tough that if the days were not shortened, nobody would be able to survive. So what happens when the first seal is broken? When this first seal is broken, write this down, it reveals the white horse of deception, the white horse of deception. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, the verse of God says, "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked and beheld a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer." The white horse of deception. And in case you're wondering, who is the rider? Who is the horseman on this white horse? This is the Antichrist. You can put that down. This is the Antichrist, the great imposter. You know, as the name Antichrist suggests, he is totally opposed to the Lord Jesus Christ. The Antichrist will be empowered by Satan and will be the greatest imposter the world has ever known. You know, he will eventually claim that he's divine and will eventually demand to be worshiped. Initially, the world is going to fall for this Antichrist because, and you can put this in your notes, because he will come as a man of peace. The world will fall for him because he will come as a man of peace. He is described in Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. It says, "I looked and beheld a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow," notice this, "and a crown was given to him." He is described as a person with a bow, but if you notice, he has no arrows. The Antichrist will conquer the world without bloodshed. For a world reeling, this world is in such chaos. There are problems on every hand. There is no peace. Country against country. And a world that is reeling will eventually embrace this person who seems to have answers to the most difficult problems that have plagued the world. And the world will embrace the Antichrist, the man with the solutions. He will come as a man of peace. But listen, secondly, he is a man of power. The verse says he went out conquering and to conquer, and a crown was given him. He will seek power, and the world will submit to him and make him their ruler. The Antichrist, the one who is totally opposed to Christ. Listen, this world who has opposed the King of Kings will embrace the great imposter. And there's some of you listening, sadly, even some who are believers in Jesus Christ. And although he is your Savior, you have not enthroned him as king in your life. But what a disgrace, what a shocking thing that the world who has rejected Jesus, who said, "Crucify him, we will not have this man to reign over us," the one empowered by Satan, Satan in the flesh, so to speak, will be embraced as the king and will be made the ruler of the entire world. He will come as a man of peace. He will be a man of power. But third, he will be a man of pretense. He'll be a man of pretense. Because once the world has bought the lie that he's about peace, the Antichrist will show his true colors and become the most brutal dictator the world has ever known. Hitler will be nothing compared to this man. Mussolini, none of these fellows will be anything compared to this man empowered by Satan, who is bent on destruction, who is at war with God himself. The first seal was broken. The white horse of deception was revealed. The second seal, the red horse of distress. You know, some of you may be listening this morning and you're saying, "Well, this is not the most encouraging message." It's not going to be the most encouraging message. It's going to be the truth of God. And I want to say to you that God, I want you to come alert. Because the Almighty God has put this in his word for a reason. The Almighty God cares about you, and He cares about me so much that He's telling you exactly what is going to happen. Look at the specificity with which He's giving us, the details He's giving us as to what is going to happen. God is giving that to us for a reason. He's giving the unsaved that to let you know trouble, big trouble is ahead. But He's giving those of us as believers an opportunity to realize that if it's going to be that bad, it's time for me to get off of my hands. The red horse of distress. Verse number 3, when He opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature say, "Come and see." Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. Write this down in your notes. World war. Once the Antichrist shows his true colors, the peace will be broken. You can put that in your notes. The peace will be broken. For as verse 4 indicates, the Antichrist will replace his empty bow, his bow without arrows, he will replace his bow with a great sword. The peace will be broken. Secondly, the destruction will be intense. The fiery red color symbolizes the intensity of the destruction, for the world will experience wars beyond anything it has ever known. You know, there are now 9 countries with nuclear weapons, with an estimate of over 15,000 nuclear weapons. There are enough nuclear weapons to blow this entire earth up many times over. 15,000 nuclear weapons that have been declared. And we don't know how many have been undeclared. I don't know if nuclear weapons are going to be used, but some Bible scholars tell you that based on some of the terms that the word uses, it suggests that some of this is the reaction of nuclear explosions. I'm not going to tell you because the Bible doesn't say specifically, but it could very well be that nuclear weapons are going to be used in some of these wars.
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, He would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, "Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved?" You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to Him. You may pray a simple prayer like this: "Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen." And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and He will answer your prayer and He will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-887-4750 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. And remember to ask for our daily devotional, The Word for You Today. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing to us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for worship this Sunday at 10:45 a.m. It will certainly be a pleasure to meet you. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.